People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trojan. Welcome you to this week's edition of People of Note. Now, my guest today is a sound engineer extraordinaire. His name is Akbar Khan, and he's known as Aki. He's the CEO, leader, and most seasoned sound engineer and sound designer of Eastern Acoustics Pty Ltd. And he inspires the content and scope of the in-house audio training and mentors the engineers in terms of their technical expertise. He's a qualified high school teacher who has various degrees. He taught at a senior secondary school for 16 years before choosing to dedicate his time and passion to sound engineering. And he has 25 years of varied experience as a sound engineer, having engineered in a variety of sound contexts, from theater, live performances, corporate functions, and so on. So there's lots to talk about. Aki, I'll call you Aki Mayor, Akbar Khan.
You may, and Rodney, what a pleasure to finally meet the voice that I used to listen to on the English service way back when, and this was produced by Rodney Trojan. I finally meet the man.
Well, there you
Wow.
That takes you back a long time.
Yes,
as well.
And the other friend of mine in the radio era was Malcolm Gooding, set me with his program Going Gooding. He basically defined my music taste. And what a guy. I'm actually quite moved seeing you in the
other life. Oh, what a nice thing to say.
No.
Well, let me tell you that Malcolm Gooding wrote a little book, I don't know if you've read it, about his life in broadcasting. And if you haven't, I must lend it to you.
No, you must. I've seen his play.
Yes, which is about, and I think the book is based on I want to know, Aki, what got you into sound engineering, because sound engineering is a very, very specified career and has demands that I don't think people really know. They think you sit behind a control desk and push a button.
You can say that. Yeah.
But it's a highly specialized job.
Yes. So I never planned this, okay, to make it clear from the beginning.
Okay.
John Lennon said, apparently he said, so life is what happens to you whilst you're making other plans.
Famous quote. And how true.
Yes. So I used to daydream whilst waiting for the bus in the Rylands Estate to go to Cape Town to do my dad's banking, which was like 50 rand into Barclays Bank. It's a lot of money those days.
It would have been, yeah.
And I used to dream of, I had this imaginary guitar with me and I had these coins in my pocket and I used to like strum the pocket and think, that's me playing guitar, and then that's Yusuf Islam Cat Stevens, who was my hero in that day. I had this long curly, I looked a lot like him. In fact, when I finally met him, they said, oh, you look like, it looks like your brother, you know, and
really?
And so on. So I always dreamt of being in the music industry. I used to work, during the same period in the 70s, I used to work for Avalon Record Store. And you know what we did there? We used to do all these pirate recordings.
Can you say this? Can you give it away?
It was on cassette and on 8-track cartridge. And then some of the clients would want echo on it as well. And you would do all of this kind of stuff. It was probably highly illegal, but it meant that I could go to the record bar. I could then, as part of my perks, I could record any record I want and I would have it on cassette. And a lot of the songs you're going to hear now are actually from cassette.
Did you play an instrument at this stage or not?
Man, of course, so with that old dream, it so happened that I then started playing guitar, and I loved playing guitar, and I went to Alexander Sinton, which really shaped what would happen to me, because Alexander Sinton, they were renowned for their concerts. They used to have all these concerts, they used to have dance, and they were really staged at a very, very high level. In fact, my mentor at that time, Randy Hartzenberg, he was the art teacher. I still remember, I never used to hang out with the kids a lot. I used to hang out with the bigger guys, you know. And because I was very thin and frail, and they always used to tease me and bully me. So I go into the art room, and guess what's playing? Sweet Judy Blue Eyes by Crosby, Stills and Nash. I was bowled over. I couldn't believe it.
So had you not heard it before?
I hadn't heard that before. I mean, standard six.
Like, oh, so you were very young.
Yeah. I'm like a lighty, and I go in there, and I'm like just completely captivated by the sound. And so during interval, they would put a record on there, whether it's Tapestry by Carole King or whether it's Jimi Hendrix or whatever it might be. And they would chat about it and pour Coca-Cola, and it made a big impression on me. So in 1976, you know what happened in the country.
Yes.
I was in matric. And Soweto was...
Erupted.
Hector Peterson had just been shot. And I'm sitting there as a student and saying, now, what are we doing about this? We going on as with business as usual. So, of course, I was one of the first ringleaders who said, no, this is not going to happen. We need to show solidarity. And it was a very, very... trying and testing period. I also kind of ran away from school at some point because apparently they were looking for me wherever they were, but I was one of the ringleaders at that time. And the other thing is that always music during the 70s played was my other friend. Music would make me feel happy. Whatever I was going through, if I listened to Joni Mitchell or Carole King, You've Got a Friend, it always inspired you with hope and made you feel good. I remember all the exams that I studied, I still listened to Ladies of the Canyon. It just meant that I could study longer, and I seemed to remember the things more.
That's interesting.
So at Alexander Sinton, we had Randy Otzenberg, and we had Mr. Fisk. And Mr. Fisk, he was a very interesting guy. He had a red beard, and he used to wear this nice tweed jacket, and he used to walk around with an Akai, a boombox, stereo.
Yes.
And from that boombox, we would hear the most amazing music. So it would be Song to a Seagull by Joni Mitchell for a poetry lesson, or The Times They Are Changing by Bob Dylan. Oh my God, it just did something to me. And of course, I did my talk on Bob Dylan, and I tried to look as much as Bob Dylan when I did that. So during this period, the 70s, so I won't elaborate more. There's lots of stories to tell about the 70s, about how the police came onto the ground, shot tear gas.
Yeah.
How I saw people literally running up a wall and jumping off on the other side. People fell out of the first floor because they locked the doors, and the police shot like 10, 14 canisters of tear gas into there, and as they came up, they were baton charged.
Wow.
Me, as always being the clever, smart aleck, we sat in the classroom, and we were like the SRC, we were all the ringleaders at Alexander Sinton that year. You know what we did? We left the door open, and we told Randy, who for one of the teachers, or he decided to stand in front as he was giving a lesson. And so when all these huge people come in there with all their muscle and armory rushing in there, and they came in, no kom al op julle donors nie. So we just smiled at them. So in this whole tornado of violence that was happening there and trauma, we were like the calm of the storm. They had all the ringleaders with all their notes there, sitting there and smiling at them.
That must have made them pull the carpet out from under their feet, as they say.
Yeah, so that was amazing.
One of the things that intrigues me a lot about guests is the music they choose, especially when that guest comes from the music world, or as a composer, a singer, or whatever. And with you and your love of music, I'm most intrigued what you are going to choose. So what is your first piece?
So Rodney, your timing is just perfect, because I was going to talk about the song, and you just...
Okay.
So the song is called Nelson, Born in the Land of the Sun. So 1977, Winnie Mandela is banished to Brantford, and Randy phones me up one day. We had just before written a song called See How They Run. It was my first song. I'll play it to you some other time. And then Randy said, Aki, just come around here. I've written the song, and it's about our most famous political prisoner, Mr. Nelson Mandela. And I took my guitar, and I know the key was A minor, and we worked it, and I made the music. And then this song kind of became the anthem during the 80s, especially in 1985. So basically, we'd form a band whilst I was at school called Coal Bones. Randy was a singer. There was Ian Malgati on piano. Ian is still a very good jazz pianist. And we actually had, in inverted commas, a multiracial band. We had a drummer who belonged to the police force. Can you believe it? And we had a guy who played like Ronnie Wood on electric guitar. And then we went to perform at these folk concerts. So there was one organized at the Nahum And of course, we were the last band to play. It didn't go down too well because they were very folksy and we came with electric guitars. But that song, Nelson, when we played that, you could hear a pin drop. And so when I was a teacher in 1985 at Oakland's High School, I formed a band because I used to be pulled into the principal's office. Mr. Khan, what has Teach Your Children got to do with geography? Now, I mean, just listen to the title, Teach Your Children. Of course.
Well, of course, absolutely.
So that all happened. So we had a band that played everything from We Are the World, you know, to silly love songs. But we also had this repertoire, which included Nelson, which included like Bob Marley songs or Solidarity Forever or We Shall Overcome and all that kind of stuff. And it's just so happened that with 1985, there was this We Are the World thing as well, where we had this, you know, these big fundraisers and everybody joined together. Of course, so when the students took to the streets in 1985, here we had a band who had the songs that were blowing in the wind and the sounds that were blowing in the wind. We went from mass rally to mass rally. Of course, the principal was like beside himself because whenever he thinks there's going to be a calm, the Oakland's band will strike up with a toy toy. Now, we did the toy toy very differently, okay? Uh-huh. Firstly, we had lead guitar solos in there. We had drum solos in there. We had a bass solo. So we did it electric and boogie style. We did the toy toy. And we had a guy who is so dear to my heart. I loved Dalton so, so very much. He was a student who stayed at my house. Dalton had a very bad stutter. But when Ralton did the toy toy, he would mesmerize the student population, the body. With like 5,000 students at a mass rally at Oakland's, Ralton would get them going. Eh? It was absolutely amazing. Maybe you should listen to the song. So this is the song that we, and I'll tell you a little bit more about Ralton and what transpired. So basically, this song, in fact, when people marched to Portsmouth Prison for Mandela, they would sing this. I mean, we used to go from school to school, hand out song sheets, almost like you're in church, and everybody would sing this song, and the spirit would be so high. I think after a session of this, you would be on such a high, you would believe that anything is possible.
Dark of the night, the man did not even try to run. When the sun came up, they were all in prison. Oh, Nelson, oh, Nelson, born in the land of the sun, imprisoned on. Justice, the trial was heard. When sentence was passed, there was anger in the air. A man of Egypt had been told to go and spend his life in an island prison. Oh, Nelson, oh, Nelson, born in the land of the sun. Imprisoned on the island, locked away for foes are wrong are forced to lie. The truth that he stole is so obviously false. The life you live is not your own. You can't reap what you have sown. Oh, oh Nelson, oh Nelson, born in the land of the sun. Away for loving his land, locked away for taking a stand, locked away for loving his land, locked away for taking a stand, locked away for loving his land, locked away for taking a stand.
There you are, some music that certainly it was new to me. My guest is Akbar Khan, who's a sound engineer extraordinaire, and that was his first choice. Just explain, Aki, what we've just heard.
Okay, so that's Nelson, Born in the Land of the Sun. It was written by Randy Hartzenberg in 1977. I did the music for it, and it was sung by students during the struggle years.
Yeah.
And then when Madiba turned 90, we made a new version of it because we wanted to give this to him as a present.
And did you?
Yes, we did. We finally did. We made like a, and we got Melanie Scholes, you know, Melanie Scholes.
Yes, yes.
We got her to do a new arrangement with her. Nick Carter did the arrangement, and she was the lead singer because I felt like the song had to be handed down to a younger generation.
My goodness, time, what a song, what a song. We're talking to Akbar Khan here on People of Note on Fine Music Radio, and one thing that's been intriguing me that I've been wanting to ask you is you've spoken a lot about music and your background and people who influenced you in your early years, but what made you choose sound engineering? As I said right at the beginning, it's a very specific profession. What made you decide, so, I am going to be a sound engineer? So extraordinaire.
I didn't choose it. I don't know where the extraordinaire comes from, but fine. I didn't choose it. It chose me. Like I was telling you, I was listening to Cat Stevens, thinking and dreaming of being a sound engineer for somebody like him. And guess what? It did happen. I actually did sound for him when he came to South Africa the very first time. I phoned up the radio station and said, I'm sponsoring the sound because I always dreamed of doing sound for him. So that happened. But during 1985, when the band, we used to rehearse these songs, like we would take songs by Elvis Presley, like JLS Rock, and the students would have these workshops and they would change the words. So it would be like, going to Mandela in the Portsmouth jail, Boss BW on the way. Okay. Didn't even have a let's march, everybody.
And the children chose the words like that.
Yes, they wrote it and they would sing this and they would march with it. And so, of course, when we went to these rallies, they had these really antiquated loudspeakers, these horn speakers that you use at the race course. And it sounded very terrible. So I then went to Paul Bothner, and Roy has now become a good friend of mine, Roy Fuljoen. And I went there and I said, Roy, we need sound. You know, Roy tells me, okay, you can take anything. I don't know if they thought we would burn the building down, but these people were so generous. And that started me on being a sound engineer. So I then ended up, I started buying bits and pieces. I bought the Fender Rhodes from Murray Anderson. And here's another funny story. We needed a guitar amp, and it was going to cost 1,500, and I had no money. So I go to my mom, Boo Boo. I said, Boo Boo, have you got four rand for me? She says, yes, what are you going to do? I'm going to play on the horses. She says, you mustn't do that. I said, I'll give you some as well. That afternoon, I go to Kenilworth Race Course, and guess what? I won 1,500 rand on the jackpot.
No, you're joking.
So it's always been in me that something that must sound right. If it doesn't sound right, I'm going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I started building up sound equipment. I did the sound for so many of the rallies. We organized concerts. My phone in those days rang off the hook. I do not know, without cell phones and the kind of media, social media we had, how we could arrange all these concerts and stuff. So we had organized an event, the Concert Against Detentions at the Luxorama, whereby artists, musicians took a stand about against the state of emergency. And that kind of started me off, eh? So especially with We Are the World and so on, I saw that with music, But the song can say so many things. It speaks to the heart. Words can't say it, and it unites people. It makes them feel better. It also gave our people in those dark times,
Some hope.
Some hope,
something to look forward to.
And meetings were banned, so it was a good excuse to get together.
Yeah.
So at the end of that period of 1985, with the winds of change blowing and so on, and people talking to Mandela and so on, I got a phone call to work with David Crom and Tali Peterson. So we did the first, the 6-6, the musical.
The very first one?
No, not the very, it was the second one, but it was the 6-6, the mime. I don't know if I should be saying this on here. Which was great fun, eh, because everybody mimed, and it's not easy, and I had to run all the cues off the reel-to-reel
tape. What a musical that was. God, I mean, that was a masterpiece.
It was absolutely amazing. I don't know, to this day, how to thank Tali Peterson, David Kramer, Isa Delport, for the break they gave me. And there was another guy, Graham Muir, as well, who also helped me out a lot. It opened a whole new world for me. What was very interesting, when you worked for the struggle, you never got thank you. You worked your what's his name off, but there was nothing, you know. And of course, so we did the 6-6 musical at the Eon Group, and I just loved it. And my skills were improving, and I was never happy with what I had. So I end up at the Theatre on the Bay with Peter Turin, with the very first musical called Nonsense Is Habit Forming.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That's a blast from the past.
It was so... I knew immediately that this was meant for me. I had to get used to the whole theatre etiquette. I nearly wrote a letter to Peter Turin about the fact, how can you call it gaffer tape?
Because it's a dangerous word, isn't
because
it?
Because I heard it wrong. I don't know. I don't want to get myself into trouble. But I was so naive and innocent. And the people who performed, like whether it was Judy Page or Kate Normington. Kate Normington was a blast. Oh, my God. When she sang, the voice. The other person who used to, also in my early fledgling sound career, was Amanda Tiffin.
Yes,
the big band.
Yes,
oh, my God. I knew when she sang. I soon found out that if you have the voice sounding amazing, other people go after the drums, then people immediately say the sound is good because they can hear every word. They can hear every word, and they can hear it so amazingly well. So I then started. I did like 10 years at Peter Turin, and I did all these fantastic shows. And also at the same time, we worked on all the stuff for David Kramer, whether it was Cutting the Kings and Kuma and so
on. Do you still work with David Kramer?
Yes, whenever he has a musical, we still work with him now.
This might be jumping ahead, Aki, but you do have now a highly respected studio, don't you, in Weinberg, which is your own creation.
Yes.
So Penny Lane.
Penny Lane Studios, yes. And we've had the likes of PJ Morton record there. We also had the likes of Jonathan Butler. What was very interesting, just before COVID, Jonathan phones me and says, "Hey, Aki, have you got a studio?" So I looked at my friend Mike and I said, "Of course we have a studio."
Come what may.
When he came down, we were still getting it together.
Yeah.
And he walked through the studio and he said, "Like, this is the piano that Ray Charles played on, and the Everly Brothers and so on. It's just a thing that we restored from back in the day." And he loved the space. And within a day, we had 70,000 hits on Facebook about Jonathan Butler walking through Penny Lane Studios. And it was COVID when, like, Mark Lotting tells me, "You know, Aki, I'm sure you had a hand with this whole COVID story." Because how did you know to have a streaming studio ready when COVID hit? Because when COVID hit, we were ready. I just told my staff, and we have like 40 people who work for the company that I now head up, Eastern Acoustics. I don't do everything. As much as I might have been extraordinary during the analog years, I spend my effort and time nurturing young people and seeing them grow into the best engineers.
This is another thing I want to talk to you about, because I know your passion is for young people to be grown up into this profession. But we need another song.
The song is called "Trees Are the Lungs of the Earth." And this song has a story as well attached to it. So, I don't know what year it was, but it's sometime in the 90s. La Bella Darnie, she must have been 14 years old. In my geography class, I was a geography teacher, so I used to be a funny teacher. And I tell La Bella, "Oh, La Bella, we just did Igneous Rocks, right? So you're going home now, you're going to write me a song called about Igneous Rocks." And La Bella comes back and sounding like Nina Simone. Oh, my God, and she sings Igneous Rocks, what she wrote herself, as in a 12-bar blues form. I thought, what the hell? So I could see she had a talent. And at the same period of that time, I'd received a call, because I was moonlighting back in the day. I was running the Dock Road Theatre. I don't know if you guys remember the Dock Road Theatre.
Yes, I do indeed.
It's a wonderful theatre, worked with Not the Midnight Mass, Fairyland, and all that stuff. So Cheryl calls me, Cheryl Luzinski, Aki, you must be here for Arbor Day tomorrow. But Cheryl, I'm a teacher, how the hell do I get out? So I had to make a plan quickly. Mr. Emeran, Mr. Kanye, Mr. Emeran, look here, I've entered some students for the Arbor Day competition. You know, La Bella's got a very good voice. And so, you know, I don't want to break their spirit. They've worked hard on this song. And there we are the next day. And this is a song they're going to play. And, of course, they got first prize.
Trees are the lungs of the earth, planted with seeds, seeds of life. Trees are the lungs of the earth, planted with seeds of life. Mother Nature is crying, crying out loud, to stand together as one. People, please stop the killing and save the beauty of life. We gotta save all the trees. So won't you please stop cutting them down. Cutting them down. Yes, and won't you please stop cutting them down. Trees are the lungs of the earth, planted with
That song is called Trees, Trees of the Earth. And it was sung by?
It was sung by La Bella Dani, who was a student of mine at Oaklands High School. She was later signed up by Sony Records as well.
Gosh.
And what a talented person. I was so, so sad to hear that she had lost her life tragically as a very young woman. But I have such fond memories of her and all the concerts we performed at. And of course, that song, Trees of the Lungs of the Earth, I can only bring back great memories.
Good. My guest on People of Note this week is Akbar Khan, sound engineer extraordinaire. I keep saying that because that's what it says here, Aki. And I said just before we listened to that song that I wanted to just find out more about your passion for teaching, for helping students to learn things. You must have made a conscious decision then to leave teaching, to go into the sound world, but still, to pass your skills on.
Yes. In 1997, they offered the retrenchment package for teachers, and I've had such a good innings at high school. Being a teacher, I used to take all the students to all the musicals that we were doing, but it was like getting very difficult, and I just got married, and then, you know what happened? My wife actually signed the resignation papers. She forged my signature, and she handed it to the principal. And then, of course, when I tried to change my mind, the department said no. And then, of course, I had to live dangerously. But you know what? I'm so glad that happened in my life. There's no turning back. I had a wonderful innings at...
As a teacher.
And being a teacher, well, obviously, it opens lots of other things. Because when I tried to learn about sound back in 85 and so on, there were few people who helped me, but the thing was, like, I was told by this one engineer, you know, Aki, sound is only for the people who are born with golden ears. It's God's gift to man, you know, to certain people only, you know. And so all my life I was, like, trying to prove him wrong. I thought, no, man. And you know what? And the thing about me is I always questioned what they did. And I realized that, you know, a lot of the people are supposed to be good, but I don't like what they're doing. So I kind of forged out ahead, and I made contacts with engineers overseas. We never had the internet in those days. But I soon found out, like in the late 90s, I met lots of people from overseas who were so willing. I found that it was totally different, you know. And of course, and I'm names dropping. I'm now good friends with Fab DuPont, the guy who mixed the Waka Waka song, a guy who works with Jack White, Grammy Award winning engineer, Vance Powell. And these people, well, they gave me good guidance. And also on the live side, I found out there's nothing stopping you from just going to somebody. So, of course, when Depeche Mode came here, I went to their sound engineer. I made friends with the entire band. In fact, we had one of our students who was a Depeche Mode fan. She sat in during all the rehearsals of the Three Arts, and she got all the merchandise she wanted. And so...
Am I right in saying that Depeche Mode was famous for their sound?
They were had famous a very for their special sound, yes,
and professional sound.
Yes, and also Pink Floyd.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I went to see Pink Floyd in 1994, and I've taken pictures of the racks that they use, and I kind of recreated those things in our company in a small way. But it's always been, how can we improve the stuff? And so coming out of the 80s and 90s, and our company, anybody who has a passion for sound, wants to learn about theater sound and musicals, and who wants to do the long, hard hours. You were saying earlier, and it's like, you know, me sitting behind the desk is nothing but like that. And so we've had so many... Look, I haven't got any formal... I mean, I studied music through UNISA and so on, but I don't have any formal stuff. But if you've got good ears and you're willing to work hard, you can be a very great engineer. And also, if you have mentors, if you know what good sound is like, you know what to aim for. Yeah. So in our company, we've got lots of young people who are, like, really good at doing sound. And
you're helping them as well.
Initially, like, I mean... We had a guy from the Eastern Cape, Keith Nakiwi, who worked in the garden, you know, and he used to walk around with me. And just to let you know that he finally went to London and he mixed Guma for David Crome and Taddy Peterson. And within the space of a year, he was mixing orchestras. It's just creating the opportunity. I'm not going to take all the credit. A lot of it depends on you, but I will give you the opportunity. I will talk to you. I will nurture you. I will guide you. I will make sure that you don't drown when I throw you in at the deep end. And also seeing which person works well in what setup, who's good for theater sound, who's good for live sound, who's good for conferences and stuff like that.
Because it's all different, isn't it?
It's all different,
different discipline,
yeah,
for want
but,
of a better
but it's,
word.
It's one of the most exciting worlds to be in, and it's introduced me to so many various musicians.
People love good sound. If you go to the theater or to a huge function and the sound is good, people are drawn in immediately. Because as you said earlier, sound is... very, very special. It's a God-given gift to hear glorious sound.
Yeah.
We need another piece of music. What are you going to play?
Okay, so next song we're going to play is What's Going On.
Yes.
And it's done by one of my favorite musicians, the late, great Robbie Jansen, playing with a stunning band called Workforce, which featured Duke McKenzie, Spencer Mbada, I think it was Stompy on trumpet, Denver Furness, Titch on guitar, and this was recorded to cassette in 1986, and it's the Marvin Gaye song.
Thank you. world. There's too many of you crying. Oh, won't you listen to me, brother, brother, brother? There's far too many of us dying. But we know we have to find a way, even if we have to die, to bring more love on this earth today. And no matter about the picket lines, brother, or the picket signs, sister, don't you punish me, brother, with your evil brutality, sister. You can talk to me, brother, and you will see, sister, what's going on.
What's going on?
I can
tell you
to escalate. Oh, war is not the only answer. A little love can conquer hate. We all know we have to find a way to bring some love in here today. And no matter about the bigger lines,
brother,
or the bigger signs,
sister,
don't punish me,
brother,
with your evil brutality,
sister.
You can talk to me,
brother,
and you will see,
sister,
what's going on.
What's going on?
Tell you what's going on.
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
It's a Marvin Gaye song, did you say, Aki?
Yeah.
And who was performing there?
It was Robbie Jansen. He was, he was my hero. On saxophone, he played with Johnny Clegg on those early, played the flute and the sax, like African Sky Blue.
But you play the flute, you told
me. I play the flute.
You let that slip out earlier.
Yes, I play the flute. And, of course, I even took lessons from Robbie at some point because, man, that guy, he just makes it sound so good, eh? And especially that song, What's Going On. So that was recorded again at 1986 at the May Day Rally, Robbie playing that. That was 1985 for a fundraiser at the Cine 400. It was a movie house, and we had a fundraiser in there for the Western Cape Teachers Trade Union. and so on, yeah.
Okay. So you, I mean, clearly you're very busy. You work very hard. You're training people. You're at all these shows and concerts and things. Do you listen to music to relax ever when you're at your house, not at your studio?
I listen to music every day. I'm also like a marathon runner, so I've got a playlist that goes in my head the whole day for that 1 hour that I run. And I also, I go to bed with a playlist that switches off after an hour, but then I'm really long gone for the third song. I'm so tired.
In the land of Nod. Yeah. Well, that's good because, I mean, therefore, music is just as much part of your life as sound.
Yeah, yeah.
And sound is music, or music is sound, after all, isn't it?
It is, yes, it is. Yeah.
But now, let's just talk about the jazz festival, which comes up next weekend. Are you involved again this year?
Yes, we've been involved since inception.
Since
the very first one, which was held at the Good Hope Center. And yeah, I think Rashid Lombard, I think I might have mentioned his name, and Billy Domingo. They took care of the first one. And I'd met Rashid during the 80s. He was with a group called Vakalisa. They were involved with arts and poetry and stuff like that. And
you know that he was the first manager of Fine Music Radio.
Wow,
Rashid Lombard, back in 1995.
He's an amazing person, yeah. And so, so they called me, and, you know, it was everything I dreamed for, because firstly, jazz is not everybody's cup of tea, and not every sound company knows jazz, maybe now more than then. But, you know, generally it was always rock and roll, you know, but here we've got like jazz. So it gave us an opportunity to really upgrade all the equipment that we had, the microphones, because miking an upright bass and miking a grand piano is totally different than having a keyboard and a set of drums for rock and roll. Also, the drums that they use for jazz are all the smaller sizes. So it's been absolutely incredible. And then working with all these world-class, not to say South African musicians aren't world-class, but
it's good to have an input
yes.
of world-class people.
Wow, you know, we've worked with Wayne Shorter. And you know what? With so many of the people who come over, you actually become friends with him. Like Gilbert Law is the flute player now. I told you Robbie Jansen is my favorite flautist, but both me and Robbie, our hero was Gilbert Law.
Who was the flute player of Jethro Tull?
Ian Anderson. Yes, yes.
Did you enjoy his playing?
I loved his
playing.
Incidentally,
we have something in common because I used to play the flute.
Wow!
When I was younger, much younger. And in fact, played in an orchestra in Durban for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Just on that subject, Aki, do you have anything to do with classical music? You're allowed to say no. Do you ever record a symphony orchestra or?
Yes, we have. I ran the Spear Festival with my dear friend Keith Davies, who was a Tonmeister engineer from the BBC.
Extraordinaire,
there you go. So the Spear from 1996 to 2006, yeah, my memory still serves me right. We had the Spear Arts Festival. We did all the operas, and
there were lots of operas and orchestra concerts.
We recorded that stuff. We also recorded Abdullah Ibrahim.
You were going to tell me about
Cape Town
Abdullah
Ibrahim. We recorded that solo piano at Spear as well. Yeah, okay. So we can do that. Yeah, I love classical music. Yeah,
good.
And opera, and especially seeing it live.
Yes.
So the jazz festival has really been incredible, and I am so looking forward to this year's one.
Have you got a nice turnout of guests? I mean, guest artists coming out.
Yes.
And local.
I think Matt Bianco is headlining the one. From what I gather, the ticket sales are also doing good, and I think it's going to be a great festival.
The festival, the jazz festival in Cape Town, has always been a huge success, hasn't it? It's always had a massive amount of support.
Yes, it has, yeah. And also, it brings so much turnover to the city of Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get a flight here, all the hotels are booked out. So
yes.
It's such an exciting time, and so I'm really glad that we are.
You're so involved, as you have been, as you said, right from the inception.
And then just as an anecdote, so we literally camp at CTICC during the jazz festival, and there's not time, you know, you've got a 30 minutes to change over, so you can't really go out. So what we do as part of our tradition every year, my brother makes a big pochi of curry, the best curry you can ever get in Cape Town, in a big black cauldron hot off the coals. And then sometime during the last day, that curry gets taken to the back of the auditorium one. And of course, one year, Hubert Laws got a whiff of the curry. And then I gave him a plate of it. He comes to visit me in South Africa just for a plate of curry.
I was just going to say I love curry.
Yeah.
And the curries, I come from Durban, where yes. there's some excellent curries, but yes. the Cape Town curries are just as good.
Yeah.
Well, we have to end now, Aki. It's been inspiring talking to you about the whole world of sound and sound engineering. But now, what's our last piece? What are you going to say goodbye to us with?
So my final song is When Will the Children Play Again? I first heard Tina sing the song at a community event in 1985. And that song really became an anthem during that time. There was stunned silence. You could hear a pin drop. I don't think there was one person's eye that wasn't wet. As the song so resonated and captured the difficult period we were going through in 1985, I had to speak to Tina after that. And then together we formed a group of people who felt that music was healing, music could bring people together, and we felt through music we could change the world. So Tina, myself, and of course the amazing Oakland's band, the Students of Oakland, Andre Sampi, Wayne Barthes, Belmont Lane, Bruce Cadalli, and of course our beloved Ralton Pra, and Keith Bentham, the drummer. We were out every week and every day. We committed ourselves to the struggle and using music to bring people together and to create change in this troubled world of ours. We traveled the length and breadth of South Africa from Cape Town to Johannesburg, to every township, and we performed our song thinking and feeling that music will create a positive change in people's lives and in this country. And what a journey it was for me. It was really the wonder years and for me the most exciting period in my life. This song was played, sadly, at our dear friend Ralton's memorial. Ralton left us very early, and so this is from his memorial, and this is Tina singing that beautiful song, When Will the Children Play Again?
What a memory that must be, Aki. That's what we're going to end with. My guest has been Akbar Khan. An inspiring conversation. Thank you, Aki.
Thank you.
Everywhere if you look around you, taken seriously at all. Most of them fade away before they can grow tall, but through the picture they look at you and they cry. Their faces seem to ask the question, why? Tell me when. Table fully laid to forget the plight of those who haven't got it made. So you close your mind to those who really need your love and care, and you pretend to yourself that they're not really there. But through the picture they look at you. Tell me when will the laughter go high?
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
FM 101.3 FM.